Oh, Poodle, we need to record 90 Day Fiancé.
I don't know. What if we recapped another show? Would that be okay?
Oh my, how original. Poodle, you can do whatever you want.
Right, it's my show.
Our show.
Our show. Want to hear my idea?
You have to keep your clothes on.
Then I have another idea.
When you don't know which to pick,
a nice vagine or a friendly dick. Bye.
Bye.
Curious do. When you want another show,
not 90 Day, one we don't know. Bye.
Bye.
Curious
do. They say variety's the spice of life.
Why stop at just one husband or one wife?
Poodle, that's polygamy.
I'm sex positive.
So email, Facebook, send a text.
Tell us the show that we should do next. By Curious, on with the show.
This Poodle, he likes going to outdoor amusement parks where he can fornicate with men in the bathroom.
As opposed to indoor amusement parks.
Yes, they're stuffy. He also...
Don't love roller coasters, though.
No, Poodle also enjoys going to outdoor restaurants where there's a large bathroom.
Yes.
Where he can fornicate with men.
A pissoir, if you will.
Yes. He hates... places without public restrooms.
Even though I don't love going to the bathroom in them.
No, you don't. He also hates roller rinks because of a bad incident there when he was a child.
Not allowed. Still got bruises.
He's looking for love.
This is Maddie, who's also looking for love. He likes Oreos.
All kinds.
Deep fried Oreos.
Yes.
Especially. He dislikes traffic enforcement of any type or parking enforcement.
So angry.
And birds. Generally birds.
Terrified. Terrified.
He's looking for love. And this is love on the spectrum.
Yes. And this is the second time we're doing this because we forgot to press record. So
this is your Bi Curious
for May.
Yes.
Even though it's June. Why are you looking at your phone?
No,
you get?
Is it
a curved dick that they sent?
I got a voicemail. I was just trying to see who it was.
Well, people want to talk to you.
Newport, Maine.
Why don't we wait till after the show when we're not recording?
Why don't you suck my dick?
No, thank you.
Let's talk about love on the spectrum.
Two bottoms. Don't make it right.
You can still suck my dick.
No. Mm-mm. So, love on the spectrum. This is your Bi-Curious for... May. Yes, it's June, but it's May. This is how we do this.
We always do it like that.
We used to not. We used to be better about doing it the month of.
Not familiar.
We haven't. We might do, we'll probably do June in June, because once July starts, we're busy
we're
with
fucked.
Touring again.
We're fucked.
So, by the way, y'all, come see us on tour. Go to our Linktree link and get those tickets. And you better come. If we don't sell enough tickets in your city, we won't come back.
Never.
Because that means you didn't care. You didn't want to come.
Y'all, all these Ohio motherfuckers running their mouth about,
we've
about me
like
coming there.
30% in Ohio. And y'all
I
been
swear
like,
to God.
On.
And then, y'all, wherever we go in Ohio, y'all will complain, you should have went here.
Yeah. You know what?
I'm telling you.
Next time, we'll go to Iowa and just fucking wave at you. So you better come.
It'll be the only state we never go back to. I'll show you. Fuck you.
We'll do a whole 10-city tour in Florida.
We'll go to every town on the Ohio border just to say fuck you.
That's the Mar in me. Sorry, y'all. All right.
We're doing the best we can.
Seriously, though, come see us. We're excited to see y'all. Summer should be fun. And so we're excited to get out on the
road. Yeah, Columbus, it's up to you. Honestly,
it's up to you.
If we ever make it to Ohio again.
It's true. Cincinnati, you want us to come to Cleveland? Talk to Columbus.
Just call up the mayor.
Yeah.
Have him give us the key to the city.
Yeah.
I want a key to a city.
He'll just put it in your ass and unlock something.
Click, click. Achievement unlocked.
Yeah. And for me, I'm going to
say... Oh, I've already had this one.
Yeah. They'll put it in me and I'll say, you're going to need a bigger key.
Right. He can't feel anything from the waist down. No, can't feel anything.
All right. So, Love on the Spectrum.
This is adults and young people, usually.
You love
this show. With autism and learning disabilities, trying to find love. I love this show. I love the Australian version. It's the same producer, showrunner, Kian, kind of asking questions behind the counter.
You love saying his name, Kian, don't you?
It is.
Is he cute?
I don't know.
You need to see what he looks like.
It's spelled C-A-Y-N, Kian.
Oh, my God. You already love him just because his name.
A little bit. I don't know. I love this show. People were saying, how are you going to cover this show? Are you going to make fun of them? And I'm like, no. Sometimes we don't always make fun of people.
No.
And I think this show is interesting to talk about because you guys know I've talked about it on the podcast many times that I...
That's what Kian looks like.
Ooh, I'm in for it.
He's kind of a bearded daddy.
I'm here for it. But I worked with students with autism and students with learning disabilities in theater, in kind of theater therapy for a couple of years. And it teaches you a whole different skill set. Because I'd worked a little bit. I was familiar with the kind of tricks of the trade. Mm-hmm. But you have to, in a way, you start with your plan, and then you wind up throwing it out the same day.
Yeah.
So it makes you a better educator, definitely.
For sure, I bet.
I always tell the story that I showed up, and one time one of the kids, that was the dress rehearsal for, like, yeah, the kid playing Pumbaa had a panic attack on the stage, and he's not coming. And I was like, okay. And one kid's like, yeah, I know all the words. I know all of his parts.
And they just
got in there and did it.
And look at that.
And normally I would freak out and go to the principal and another thing about why did this happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like, okay. And the other kid was fine. He's like, oh, I didn't know all of it. Because it's almost like certain kids who have autism and certain kids with different learning disabilities, their superpowers are in one area. And that was the same kid who could quote everything. He would memorize everything in a day. And you would get, I had him for 3 or 4 years. And he would come back and have it memorized. Yet, you would have to tell him, like on stage, you would have to like point his feet in the direction of where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And because he could not say turn left or turn mm-hmm. right. And it's a different, and what was so great about the woman who was there, I'm going to get her name wrong.
The Jennifer woman?
Yes. Oh, Jennifer Cook.
I loved her.
When she's talking about, that's great. And you're always trying to include things, saying you're trying to engage them in a way that is two-way conversation. Because what she said is so exactly right, is that it's a constellation of behaviors and limitations, but also a constellation of strengths. And so you just have to find that and figure out how to best work with the strengths and how to always challenge the weaknesses.
Well, what I like about this show is that it just feels to me... sorry, y'all. Airwolf's flying over. It's got a helicopter. But it's... Goodness, that's loud, but they probably can't hear it at all.
Probably not.
It doesn't feel exploitive of
not
these
at
people
all.
At all. It just feels like a slice of life. And to be honest, I like that the only time... for any of the people so far, at least in the two episodes I've seen, where people, the only time they talk about their, whether it's Asperger's or spectrum
autism,
or autism, yeah, or whatever the word they use, it's brought up by the people who are on the spectrum that are dating a
yes.
lot. It's not necessarily a bunch of, what's the word? It's they use for
neuroatypical.
It's not a bunch of neuroatypical people kind of saying,
Neurotypical
people talk.
They're not saying,
putting labels.
She has autism.
Yeah, I'm putting labels. So I appreciate, it just feels very slice of life. And honestly, if you're watching it, I think in a beautiful way, you just, to me, it feels just like it's different, but it also reminds me of just other some other dating shows I've seen that feels, I think what at the commonality, like we talk about 90 Day Fiancé, we're all looking for love and validation. Yeah. And I think that sometimes when people have a history of being othered like this, like that they don't, we forget to see them in this human way. And so it's a great show.
Or the fact that people with autism could never have relationships that are meaningful.
Yeah.
And the other thing is when you, it's almost like a joke in people when you're teaching in people who are on the spectrum is, shh, don't tell anyone I have autism. or they're aware. Everyone is aware that they have learning disabilities or that they have autism. They're like, you don't need to tiptoe around me. I'm aware I have autism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they will be very open about it. And the most, what I love about this series is, especially the parents that they have, the parents love to laugh about things that they're saying. They don't tiptoe around these people because that's the worst thing you can do. The best parents that I work with at the school that I work with are the ones who just treat their kids like any other kid. The same way you can just take the piss out of that your parents would take the piss out of you, you know, or kind of make fun of you or something like that.
It makes me, I'm glad this show is happening too, because something that I don't know if a lot of, we live in California, and so especially in Southern California, in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that that's a bubble of having a high percentage of sensitivity for people that are neuroatypical.
Yes.
That's not the same for all of our country. It's even, I just talked to a friend who, they live in England now. And in England, it's still a Victorian type of school, so their children are seen and not heard.
Yeah, I work at a school that is specifically geared towards that.
But like, so we just want to say that I hope by watching this that it's not even the love, that there might be actually people that are watching this that are on the spectrum or have children or families on the spectrum that are maybe not... They don't have the same resources and things. So that's another thing I love about this show is maybe it gives some people that are watching this hope for a different type of possibility for their lives and, or someone else in their life.
And a way to engage with their children who've been diagnosed with autism.
Because it's a privilege that some of these kids, that they're able to live in LA where they can
have these
programs.
The two stories, one of them is in Massachusetts, which is going to be just as just like LA.
Yeah, so...
But yeah, I guarantee you both of these families have access. We're going to meet in episode 2. You didn't see this. But a woman who lives in Greenville, South Carolina.
Really?
Kind of my hometown. And there are resources there, but I would be interested to hear more about how she grew up. Because they're very different, I guarantee you, than how Abby or Danny grew up.
Yeah,
In Los Angeles.
For sure.
But anyway, so we're going to talk about this, and this is really important, you guys. If we were doing that kind of opening, which is my favorite part about this show, so-and-so likes this and this, and it's okay to laugh when these things that sound just so random.
Mm-hmm.
Like David, David likes the car, being inside a car wash.
Oh,
That is so specific, and we laugh at it because... people who are neuroatypical, they'll come up with those things. So we laugh at it. We're not making fun of it. It's very different.
I think what
to be surprised by something is very different than laughing at.
I like it makes me laugh, but in a way of I marvel at it.
Because
for me, it's watching the show for me reminds me to see details.
Yeah.
Because I think we don't.
That's a superpower of people with autism.
Yeah. And so it makes me actually go, how much am I skipping over in life?
Also, where you learn what true authenticity is.
Yeah.
Because there's no time. Like if you watch The Date with Abby and David, and this is what you'll help with people with autism, you can see that they've often been coached on what to say. And they deliver it in a way that sounds robotic because otherwise no one's ever told them how to do it. There's no one, you can't explain to someone, how do I phrase a question where it sounds like a question? Mm-hmm. And you're trying to do it, and it's just not a certain skill set they have, and it's fascinating.
Now, how do you want to, who do you want to talk about first?
Let's start with Danny.
Okay, let's start about Danny.
Yeah.
Okay, so Danny, she's 26 years old. She lives in Los Angeles, right?
I can't hear you for some reason.
Really? My mic's up there.
Yeah.
I could turn up my gain.
As soon as you move it down, I can't hear
sure,
you that well.
Sure, but she lives in Los Angeles.
Oh, no, that's too much.
Well, you're going to deal with it now. I think it's only at, what is it? Yeah, it's not that much. You'll have to deal with it. Okay, so she's 26 and lives in L.A. She said it's hard to find a boyfriend and that she's looking for, wow, I wrote, typed out for someone. My iPad is so slutty that it typed out foursome. It auto-corrected to an orgy. She's not looking for a foursome, no. Y'all. She's looking for someone, and she said, great hygiene. I do not want them to have bad breath.
That is a very specific, for some people with autism, and especially, strangely, with people with Asperger's is a very specific thing, because a lot of times it's not something they can endure because they're highly sensitive to things. Their sense of smell sometimes are more developed.
Mm-hmm.
And so hygiene is a huge thing.
Yes. Now, she lives with her aunt and her uncle. And what I loved about
it. Like, they're like, are you a gold digger? She's like, I guess so.
I guess so. And my favorite, again, it's this calling what it is, because she lives with her aunt and uncle, and she says basically they're talking about her living with her mom and her dad, and she just said it's called a dysfunctional upbringing. And I went, if this, all of us could just name our childhood.
This made me miss my students so badly, because I have a student, Kate, because
her dad was a deadbeat.
Yeah.
In her, yeah.
Who would just say things like her mom would bring her be late picking her up, and the mom would come in or something like that, and she would just say, they'd be like, oh, sorry, I'm late, and she's like, neglected again. She's like, I guess we'll have to get fast food on the way home to make up for this one.
That's
and
hilarious.
Mom's like, don't air all of our dirty laundry. But I think it's really interesting, because this woman would be, and there's a couple terms we throw around in the community of education for this. I've talked about this on the podcast before, where people describe a person with autism as highly functioning, mm-hmm. and a lot of us in educational circles, we bristle with that, because you have autism, That's mm-hmm. just it.
Mm-hmm.
That's doesn't matter where you are. You have autism.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of parents will say they're more highly functioning to almost elevate them over other kids.
Mm.
For educational results, sometimes we will use that term and saying she's, and sometimes there's a scale of 1, 2, and 3. We do put numbers on it. All the kids that we saw are at the highly functioning level, if I needed to say it. Okay. So we did not see any lower two numbers. These were, everything was on the functioning.
Yeah.
So if I say terms like highly functioning, please don't take that in offense. If you're in the community of autism workers, I'm using it as to, but Danny is definitely up there.
Yeah. She started her own company at 14. Like, she's hugely passionate about animation.
Right.
She brought up, like, the person who created Pokemon was on the spectrum. So, and so I thought just that's cool that she has somebody who, I mean, when you think of, that's like, Pokemon's like huge.
And she got a practice boyfriend who she just wanted to kiss. And she's like, I went on YouTube and found I have a cupcake. This is so typical, because you guys, people with autism will just Google, how do I talk to someone? How do I make someone my boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Or how do I kiss someone? And they will literally take from it that.
And her ideal partner, she said, like a DNA structure, their love lives and their work lives are all combined.
I just say, this is, boy, talk about have someone who has really high expectations for a partner. And this was the person, so far from what I've watched, And I'm only like episode 4, but Danny is very dramatic.
Oh, and, yeah. We can tell from the date, and I worry for her.
There is also an aspect of being a player in her own story that she has going with it, which I could imagine could be very hard for a partner.
No, I think there's a difference of confidence and kind of, what is it, yeah. Grandiosity?
She reminds me of Michael in the Australian version, if you watch that.
I haven't seen that. But she does have a very, I'm glad she's confident, but it's also a very high opinion of herself, which is wonderful, because probably she was, you know, I'm sure she was picked on or made to feel othered or weird.
It's a problem.
But it's a problem because I don't think she sees her self sometimes in the most and gets herself in already in this first date in unrealistic situations quickly.
She also tends to see herself the way others see her, especially when people are writing articles about her.
Yeah.
And it can come off as a little annoying sometimes.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about
fashion,
that.
All of the fashion, all of the fame.
Wow.
Baby, you're gonna remember my name. You're gonna love me.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. I just sang a RuPaul song.
You did.
I did.
So can we continue her story? Because she's meeting...
her friend Devin.
She's meeting...
there's another Devin later, right? I wrote Devin. His name's Devin, right? Her friend.
Yes.
Yeah. They meet at a bar.
Also, you guys, she has her BA and MBA.
Yep.
Which is...
all these titles, I'm going to have a bigger house.
Yeah, certain things like that, you could just kind of go. The other thing is, the thing about a person with autism is they don't necessarily realize it sounds like they're jerking off all over you.
No.
Telling you. It's like when my students would say, and then I did this, and then I won this, and I'm like, and you'll kind of make for like, boy, that's a lot of things. And
I don't mind that at all, but I worry about it when she's in a relationship. Yep.
And that's what occupational therapy will teach you. You're like, okay, you've listed enough. I guarantee you that Jennifer Cook is probably an occupational therapist.
Yeah, probably.
And God, I loved that segment. We're going to talk about that with
Abby.
That's
my favorite segment, actually.
Abby is my favorite person on this
series. Yeah, she's great. So they talk about Devin. They're basically Devin's like, I've got a fourth date, same girl. And she's like, really? And
Devin seems like a creep to me. I know that's a weird thing to say.
I get that. I get that.
He's a creep.
I just love that he just turns to her and he says, I want to hear about your dating life.
You know, and this is so cool.
I love the directness. It makes me want to be more direct in life.
This is with two people with autism. This is how they talk to one another.
Yeah.
They'll say, yeah, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's move on to what I want to talk about.
And they don't necessarily, it doesn't seem like they take things emotionally.
They don't.
You don't want to talk about that anymore.
If they do get, a lot of times if your feelings do get hurt, they are very good in my work with people with autism is saying, that really hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
If they feel slighted, because occupational therapy and all therapy in working with people in autism is about voicing how something makes you feel. And so you'll hear that or they'll say, you'll hear them saying, I feel bad right now.
Mm-hmm.
And at least they're saying it because they're always encouraged, because especially people who, you know, there are people on the autism spectrum who are pretty nonverbal. And you would give anything just for that nonverbal person to express how they felt. And so it's we're always asking, how does that make you feel? When we do this, how does this make you feel? How are you feeling right now? You know, just checking in, because any type of stimulation. And a lot of times they can't tell you. They'll say, I don't know.
Oh, no, Danny can.
Yes, she can.
Danny says, I don't want to have a baby in my body. That's going to hurt.
Danny is the type of, she's a very specific type of like a person with autism who knows she is, I'm using the term again, highly functioning.
And well, she says, a lot of people that are on the spectrum think that I'm too smart and too motivated.
This is so
I'm intimidating to them.
This is so interesting that she brings this up, because a lot of people, she is intimidating for people who are on the spectrum, and then for people who are neurotypical, they think something's a little wrong with you.
I just think for anyone, she's just very intense.
Yeah, she is.
And so if you're dating her or friends with her, you're just going to get a lot of intense energy.
She is, I guarantee you, Dani is difficult to be friends with. Because
no.
She takes a lot of gardening.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
So they cheers, and they said, he said, cheers to autistic people finding love. And they have a cheers. And so then she's getting home for her, she's at home, she's getting ready for a date. Her aunt says, have some tequila and relax, Dani.
she needs like three shots.
She's like three shots. And so, and Dani said, you know, I hope he looks good, but looks can be seductive, especially if he has longer hair.
And kind of an androgynous look that I like. And I went, me and you both,
me
sister.
And you both. And then as soon as we met Solomon with his long, curly
she
hair,
like,
and he said, I like writing poetry and good vibes. And I went, she's fucked.
Y'all, you could see her become like Pepe Le Pew,
yeah,
like that.
For real. Because, and also, Solomon doesn't like messy eaters.
No.
Does not like messy eaters.
But he likes good vibes. Y'all, it was so Los Angeles when he said, I've been learning about the laws of attraction. I was like, oh, God.
That is an LA thing.
Abundance.
And so he sits down. And he's like, I'm kind of nervous. And she said, have you been on dates before? And they're kind of just, she talks about teaching animation and that, you know, she wants to work with it. Basically, she teaches, we talked about her animation, but he finished his degrees and he wants to work with communications, with working with other kids with disabilities.
She's like, you're perfect. And I went, slow your roll.
She immediately just says it out. She'll say things kind of under her breath. Like, what I loved and was horrified of watching Dani is her inside voice becomes outside. But
yes,
it's not her normal speaking voice, just under here like, you're perfect, or I
yes.
love you, or you're going,
I'm in love with you.
You go, what? And so it's like that voice. It's so that's what we all have, this voice in our head,
right?
That we are just telling to shut the fuck up. And so it's
laughable when she voices it, and we all go, holy shit, Dani.
For me,
did
it
that.
Wasn't laugh. I honestly was horrified. I was like, I couldn't believe she said it. It was so, I gasped,
well,
actually.
The thing about it is, we're used to seeing this very, very oblique dance between people who are dating, and that's just not what people on the spectrum do.
No.
It goes all in, and then it's like, take a U-turn here, and we're going to go.
I mean, it is more direct than you at me in Mickey's at 1:45 in the morning when it's sidewalk sale time.
with a flashing arrow pointing to hole. at Joe's.
Well, I think I still have that neon sign.
Eat at Joe's.
Poodle used to carry it around.
Eat my
with
hole.
The battery pack.
But but this moment, and when he heard her say that, he went, I seen a moment. And that is y'all, I'm so glad they do that. And we saw kind of behind the camera, and we saw that they left that in the edit, because that happens. And kids, especially children with autism and young adults, are taught, ask when you need a moment, when you get overstimulated, take it.
I'm interested in seeing after this, and maybe they'll address it or not. You've seen more episodes, but so Solomon comes in. He's into the law of attraction, but he just full on says, I want to find my soulmate and find that abundance in life.
Yeah.
And Dani's like, yes. Have you been to Comic-Con? And he said, yes. And, you know, she's very attracted to him. And she says to the camera first, she says, I'm so nervous. And by the way, I'm in love. And the producer says, did you say you're in love? She went, yes. And so then she goes back to dinner. And she says, have you tried online dating? And she's like, it kind of creeped me out. And Solomon's saying, yeah, it kind of creeped me out. And then we hear, I'm in love with you. You're so hot.
I know.
And then that's when Solomon says, I'm going to take a little break.
Yeah.
And what did you think Solomon was doing when he, because he leaves and Dani says, maybe I made it awkward.
No.
What did you think Solomon was doing when he said that?
He was probably kind of letting go and laughing. And doing his kind of STEM behavior or something like that he does when he's uncomfortable that he was probably afraid to do in front of her.
See, I thought it made him uncomfortable, and maybe he didn't feel that way for her, or he was like, I had what?
No, I did not think that at all.
But you've worked a lot more with people. Like, it's not for me. I tried it.
He was too stimulated.
You know that, but I'd say for someone who doesn't know, I thought, oh, he's turned off.
Yeah.
Y'all, he went and wrote a poem for her.
I completely thought he was doing something. He would take, I don't know how long it took him to do that, but he had to probably soothe himself, and then he came to what he needed to do.
Yes, and he came back and wrote
a poem.
A motherfucking poem for her.
Yes. But that's in the second episode.
And we'll talk about, should we talk about that now?
They just kiss.
I mean,
because they're going to meet each other again.
Yeah. He says, can I tell you something? You look really great. And he reads a poem and it's like, you are the wind of the earth. And it's this very deep poem. And that's when they start.
It's not great though.
They just start giggling. It's not. They're giggling. They're kissing. And she says like, she does say, she's like, it's like Prince Charming. She said, my heart is exploding for you. And Solomon's like, can I hold your hand? And then Solomon says, my heart is telling me to kiss the girl.
Yes. And they kiss a couple times.
And
I'm going to say this now. She's going to eat Solomon up.
It will
never work.
I do love that they kiss and then they hug. And she says under her breath, we do need to get to know each other a little bit more.
I'm telling you.
So it's like this, they even have this battle of, I just want to jump his bones. Because we've all been on a date where you have that.
And that's the hyper reality of dealing and working and living with someone with autism, is they will say the quiet part out loud. It's fascinating.
As a parent with a kid, as a parent, if I had a kid who was on the spectrum, and this is just probably my own naivete, so come at me, let me know, but it would be scary for me to have my child put themselves out there, and I would be so worried about them getting hurt.
Yeah. You have to get past that.
And take it. So I guess you just have to, or take it advantage of, and you just have to get past that. But it's when someone falls this deep, then how?
You're always going to feel that way, I think, because you've had to protect your child for this long, but you know that especially these young people, they're, with the exception of Abby in some ways, I think the two with Danny and James that we see, and James has Asperger's syndrome, so it's a little bit different there. But these are two people who are living, I think James does live with his parents still, but he has a job. And someone like Abby, who I believe is, like I said before, is less highly functional in some ways, the parents may have to be a little more involved. But
let's talk about Abby. I think she's next, shall we?
Abby.
She's younger too. She's 23.
Yeah. Abby, this is so interesting that she said this, because this metaphor has been used before that I've heard. And a lot of fairy tale metaphors make sense for people with autism. They get them, and they connect to them and they understand them, and it helps them understand their autism a lot more. And she says, autism makes me feel not human, and I feel like Ariel because I can't get my words out.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the biggest problem with people with autism. That's the biggest
hurdle.
Yeah, and the most anxiety for them
is
that they won't be understood.
Yeah.
Because what's inside them makes perfect sense, but it's on the outside that comes out either less understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she said it's hard to find a boyfriend, and that's Danny, I'm sorry. She's like, I love lions. She loves lions. She's like, loves princesses, but not the villains.
Not the villains. Those are for boys.
Yeah.
She wants to be a princess.
She's a little more emotionally immature than most of the people on this show.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
She lives with her mom, Christina, and her brother, Ben.
Who is hot.
Knew you were going to say something.
Love a big brother of a child with autism, y'all. I had a lot of those brothers come in. Oh, my God.
Wow. Whew. You'll really find it wherever you can.
Hell yeah,
won't you?
I will. Boy, you should see me hitting on the brothers and the dads.
You're a cockroach, but a cock dash roach.
Yes, I am. Y'all, they all, for some reason, every kid that I worked with at this school had a hot brother.
Wow.
Me and one of the teacher's aides would just like stare at him, and I'm like, where did that came
Katie,
from?
Katie, don't you think you like it better when your brother brings you here instead of your mom?
Can your brother come after basketball practice again? Just playing with his friends?
With the outfit
with
on.
The jersey?
With the jersey.
Oof.
Wow.
Yeah, me and the teacher's aide always talked about the hot brothers.
Now, she had a boyfriend before, and the mom said, I saw her with her first boyfriend, and it was beautiful. And so the mom kind of talks about how...
This mom is so cool.
She talks about, how they put her in preschool, and then she started crying. They said they called her and said, we can't have your kid here. That honestly, my friend...
That happens.
No. My friend who lives in England now, in this day in 2022, is having that. The headmaster called them and
all
said,
the time.
Come get your kid. We can't deal with this.
Yep.
So they don't know where to send their kid. And they live in a big city.
Especially in preschools. They can refuse any of that.
Yeah. So it's, again, y'all, just, I'm glad they show that because it is, and they live in LA.
They're in LA.
So it's just such a,
well,
such
she
a privilege
was,
that when you can find the right place.
She was at a neurotypical school.
It's also, it's just very difficult. Like, I remember... y'all know that I just volunteer now, but I helped start a summer camp called Brave Trails for queer youth. But so there's kids that come to it's a camp for all kids. And if someone is on the spectrum, as long as they can deal with camp life and kind of regulate themselves and everything and all that, we're like, come to camp, sure, because we want a space for queer kids. And I'll never forget the first year we had this kid named Steven. I shouldn't say kid. He was like 24 years old, but he fit in perfectly at camp. And his obsession that he was really an expert of was drag. He was amazing at drag and like did like 50s and 60s drag. But I'll never forget his mother picking him up at the end of camp and her kind of asking. I'll never forget her face was so just... terrified when she said, how was it for him? And we said, he was such a light. We had the best. And he told her how much fun he had. And she, it was this guttural scream cry of joy that she finally found a place, not only for her kid on the spectrum.
He was on the spectrum.
But for her queer, actually, he called himself autistic.
Okay.
So for her queer autistic son to finally have a place where he felt like he fit in.
Yeah.
And he ended up coming to camp for like 4 summers, and then we transitioned him to different ways. But it's just, I just want to say it's so, I will say one thing about this show, at least seen so far. I get it. They want to make this look like this is these people's normal life. Mm-hmm. It makes it look, at least from what we've seen so far, that it was... people found their space pretty quickly where they live, at least. And I think that's not always the case
at all.
And so anyway, I just wanted to say
that. It depends on where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also if you can pay for it. Because school that I work for is private and it is expensive.
Yeah. Yep.
A lot of them will, a lot of the students will either transfer over or some will go in the afternoons from their other schools.
Other school?
Yeah, but the school that I work at is not cheap.
I like that this family, so it's the mom and the brother Ben that live in the house, but then there's the two gay couple that live in the guest house. I love it. And so they're all kind of just...
And the real star of this whole family is Clementine the dog.
Oh, that dog's cute.
Who makes faces.
Like, mm-hmm.
The dog is always mugging.
Always.
She's the star.
She's the star, I agree.
Later on, she's like, Clementine's gonna have it. She's like, is she a fat dog? And mom's like, there are no fat dogs in Los Angeles.
There are no fat dogs in Los Angeles.
So, Abby's really interesting because... there's a specific type. They've cast this really well. They've given us a lot of different types of people on the spectrum. Because Danny is a very specific type. Abby is another. And we haven't seen her, but Kaylin is another, where there's lots of different varieties of social skills.
Mm-hmm.
Abby is kind of lower functioning on that level of social skills. Because you saw Jennifer... We'll talk about this when Jennifer Cook, the occupational therapist, is there kind of helping her roll balls. So she's like, that's a lot of questions.
No, it's great.
Yeah. So we can move on to that part, I think.
Yeah, that's the next part. So Jennifer shows up and Jennifer, she comes to meet Abby. And so Jennifer fully, she like says, by the way, she, first of all, Abby's like, your hair reminds me of Ariel because she has red hair. And Jennifer says, well, you want to know something? She said, I'm on the spectrum and I have my three kids are on the spectrum too.
Yeah.
And you kind of see Abby's, I love it when someone sees someone like them.
Yeah.
Or experience, no matter what, that I always love it's that same look of you get me, you see me. I love it.
Yeah.
And so Jennifer's like, you know, she said, they talk a little bit. It's interesting because you see Abby is, Jennifer's trying to talk about dating history, and Abby just says things like, do you like Mike Myers?
Yeah.
And Abby actually...
Do dogs take pills?
But what I love what Jennifer does, she says, so what were you thinking in your brain before you asked me about Mike Myers? She's getting her to try to think about her communication skills.
Yes.
It was fascinating to watch. But
this is how you can tell Abby's processing is... That's going to be her area she needs improvement in. Abby's processing as far as, and that's what's weird. It's a strange thing when working with, I found just their people with autism and learning disabilities, their ears are different sometimes than ours. They hear things in a different way. Or I was always amazed that even clapping off the beat was difficult because they did not feel things in their bodies. In specific ways. I had to get them finding a stomp. There's some people could stomp easier than clapping. And it's amazing what we take for granted just as neurotypical people. But what is that?
There's some type of yard work going on.
I feel like one of my students, I'm like, what is the sound?
What is the sound?
Yeah. And they are... but I loved that she was asking questions, like she was rolling the ball and she was like throwing a lot of questions. And she's like, so we have to do this with Abby. We have to leave enough room for the other person. And that is a common tenet that you can see in places in the school life. Say, remember to leave room. Remember to leave room for the other person. Make a space for
the
other person.
I like the board that she did.
Yeah.
She did a little board. And then they did the ball rolling thing. And it's basically just, honestly, I was watching this and I thought, I know it's different, but I know people, and maybe we just live in LA where people can be super self-involved, but I'm like, I know some neurotypical people that need these fucking skills to go on a date of throwing the ball, of handing the ball, catching the ball, commenting, because there's so many people that do just talk about themselves.
Right.
And I love that Jennifer actually put a name to, she said, so let's say I'm really into games, and they're asking questions about games, and then Abby starts talking about Candy Crush because she loves Candy Crush, and then Jennifer explains to her, see what she did? We have a shared connection. That's a conversation. And Abby is kind of like, wow, this was like a really empowering, I think, moment for her. I could follow Jennifer around. She was great.
Yeah. Let me just say, it's not always that easy.
No, it is.
Yeah,
I know. And the little bit that I've worked, I tried working with people, and I honestly hated it. It was not for me.
I loved
it. Granted, it was when I was in my 20s.
I could not do it. I will say this: I could not do it full time.
I should specify: I didn't hate it because of them. I hate it because I could not get my brain to let go of a lot of things for me, and like where you talked about letting go of your lesson plan and all
you
that.
Have to.
I couldn't do that. I probably could now, but I just couldn't do it in my 20s.
It
was really anxiety producing for me. I was so worried about, and I think you have to, I was so worried about doing the wrong thing that I would cause mental, I would hurt them in some way or say the wrong thing. Wasn't a good place to be. They're not that breakable. But I think now I'm in a different place. Yeah. I'm just being transparent about how I felt. I was 21 at the time.
I understand that. I think also you have to...
I had no experience at the time. You don't, it just kind of threw me in there.
You don't make it about what you can accomplish with that person.
Yeah.
And really, you're just trying to meet them where they are.
Yeah.
And a lot of times... And then not being... For me, it's like not being hypersensitive. Like telling it how it is. Mm-hmm. Because that's how they respond.
Mm-hmm.
Because they... All of my students can know the second I'm holding back. And y'all know me. I don't hold back a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you how it is, and that's what they love about me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would say, you know, that let's do that again. That was crap.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll laugh and like, yeah, it was. And, but that's honesty, that's, you will always get that from them.
Yes. Which is like, can we talk about their date?
Yeah.
Their date was so, it's interesting the difference of dates already just in one episode. Because so she ends up going to, they go to a wildlife
center.
Like a
wildlife thing with David.
I think I've been here before, actually.
He likes lions and being in a car wash.
Yes, he loves being in a car
wash. Doesn't like clowns or horror movies.
No, and he says like, you know, she walks up and he says, hey, they have lions. Do you like lions? And she says, I love lions. So they immediately connect.
Yeah. And David's not as verbally articulate as she is.
No.
So that's the thing with the autism spectrum, y'all. There is infinite numbers of infinite colors.
She does immediately say, she said, you know where they've got lions? They made a live action Lion King. And she's like, Beyonce is so good. Y'all. Beyonce reaches past all gaps.
Well, it's the
she is. I noticed that in London, so many people have Beyonce shirts.
The tracks that Abby goes into reminds me of one of my students, and you have to say one of the things we say is, "Let's get back to what we were talking about." And I would say Kimber. Her name is Kimber. So I'm like, Kimber, let's turn back. Let's right the ship. Let's get back to what we're talking.
I love that she just basically then just throws a mother and said, I'd like to go on a safari, but it's too expensive. My mom has to make more money. By the way, how old are you? Like she, and so,
yeah.
And then she says, well, do you want to go look at the animals? And he said, or she says, let's go look at the animals. And Devin says, great. I can take pictures of the ones I like. I loved it.
That's the thing. You that is exactly how we would speak if we were saying what we actually thought.
It is like if we said what we thought.
Y'all know I'm obsessed with this idea of just saying what you think. And
yeah, I'm familiar.
And that's why...
It's not always great.
That's why I my students make me laugh, and sometimes they'll say something like, well, that was a read.
That was a read.
One time... I came in and one of them, I think it was that I was wearing a shirt that was like something old. It was like older and I'd come before because I'd come from an event. So the weeks before I was wearing, it was caroling. So I was wearing a certain tie. And one woman said, she was a younger woman. She's like, why are you so like not dressed well today? And I was like, well, I came just from my home. I liked it better when you looked nice.
Same.
And I went, yeah, happens.
It happens.
I did not take offense.
No, you can't. So there's just a lot of them looking at different animals. And Devin's like, look at the cats. I'm a cats person. And Abby,
did you notice how she kind of ran this day.
She did. I actually thought
it was good
from somebody like the way they built it. I was surprised how well she was able to give and take in communication on this. And she was very, the thing too, it's like this idea of staying present in the moment where like Abby says, like, let's sit on the bench and enjoy ourselves.
Yes.
Or like Danny, when they're drinking drinks and Danny says, let's enjoy our drinks.
Well, a lot of that is that kind of immediate total recall of like, or like immediate feedback. that they teach you in occupational
therapy. But also how we just always have to talk over something. We can't have silence when we're neurotypical. And so that they can sit and enjoy their drinks. They can sit on a bench and enjoy one another. And then, again, I think it's just the... It's like the radical transparency they have with one another.
Yeah.
Where Abby says, so the topic we're going to discuss is sea creatures. And I loved how they're setting, because y'all, she's getting back to the Little Mermaid. But then we see her say, you know, I love the Little Mermaid, but I don't know if it applies to me anymore.
Yeah.
It's so different than what we saw her say in the beginning.
Well, this is something that she's gotten a response for. So she's... I know she's a little on, so she's kind of getting that feedback of she knows that people like when she tells the story.
Probably,
but
yeah.
She is making connections as she is going, and it's interesting because Abby is fully developed, is more intellectually developed than she is definitely emotionally, emotionally developed she's not at all, and that's what that's what her mom is worried about.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, because Danny is pretty emotionally, is not really emotionally developed either, but she could start slow and work through that. Abby's got a longer way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but they're just talking, and he says she's like, is that owl mean? And she's like, no, it's a nice owl.
Yes, they swoop down and kill rats, and they'll poke your eyes out, Abby. You're right. I'm
and
terrified.
Y'all, he gives her a gift, a little flamingo bracelet. It was so sweet.
And he says, allow me to get that for you. And he puts it on her. And he said, so will I see you again? And Abby says,
maybe one day.
Maybe someday. I'll think about it, and I'll have to ask my mom. And she just turns around and walks off. And then David just says, take all the time you need.
I'll be here.
Nice meeting you.
It's just she's the star because she's so quirky. The way her brain works is so interesting. It is just. Shall we talk about James?
Let's talk about James.
Oh, James!
He wants now, a soulmate as well.
James. Has Asperger's, you guys. That is actually not something that I have a ton of experience working with. A lot of times people with Asperger's work in like regular jobs, and they can do things that oftentimes neurotypical people will do.
Yeah.
And but there's also a sense when the couple of people who have Asperger's combined with autism that I've worked with, a lot of times there is a tendency to talk over because your brain is working so fast. That is James' issue, and that's going to be a problem with him for dating, I think.
For him, I love that we saw the kind of stuff we see a lot on the show, that the stuff he collects and the swords and I love that he's
a conversation piece.
And the producer says, who's in here for a conversation?
No one really.
No one really. I
screeched.
And he says, this sword I can't use in battle, but this sword, if I need it for battle, I have it. So I enjoyed that. But then he's with his parents. And this is what I love. He's with his mother, Father Lawrence, and mother, June.
The father is a star.
Oh, what I love about them is they totally guilt him about finding love the way you would anybody else in life. And he's just like, Mom, Dad, lay off me. I love this because it's what we all relate to.
Yeah.
And so he shows his cane. He's going to this fair. And, you know, his parents are like, he's very sweet. He's very family oriented. He sits down and the mom says, James, we need to talk about your hair. Might be a good idea to have it professionally cut and colored. And Dad's like, look, son, if you want to catch a lady, you got to look nice. And I just
thought. You're competing with all the other guys out there.
And he's like, Dad, Mom, I love just this whole.
I love these parents.
Whole exchange of that we just have all the time. And he literally said, give me a break, Mom. I'm 34. And that made me laugh because normally you hear that somebody say on a TV show, give me a break. I'm 18, 17. Yeah. I'm 18. So,
well, this is definitely somebody who, James is interesting because he has the tics that is associated with Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
But he also can, a lot of times people with Asperger's will just list, and he's doing that less, but he uses very specific phrases. And he will say things that are the similar meanings and use it about four or five different times. Oftentimes, they have a really hard time with silence, people with Asperger's.
Yeah. Okay.
But he is, I love it that they're like, he's got a good heart. And James really enjoys being in front of the camera. You can tell.
Yeah, you can tell. Yeah. He's a performer. He meets his brother for dinner, and nothing really happened on this
day.
I mean, pretty much, he just kind of talks about, you know, I love that at one point he said, you know, Uncle Harry's dating despite his age. It's real old.
And the weird,
he's had more success than me.
The weird thing is there is that is definitely someone would say that like entre nous. And he just goes on. The thing, he can say that with his brother, but he also says, he's like, I think it'd be okay to talk about what someone's wearing or blah, blah, but maybe not their body or their hair. So he's having these thoughts, and the way he's talking about it is something like he's having these thoughts that are revelationary for him, or he's parsing them. He's very thoughtful.
He's very kind.
Yeah.
You can see that in him. And his description of when he says, when I want to date someone, I want someone who makes my life feel more vibrant and colorful.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's what we all want.
Yeah.
Because that's the way you feel when you're in love. Everything seems brighter, and it just does.
His brain works very fast.
Yeah,
it does. That will be very frustrating. That's very frustrating for him.
Mom's
in life,
right,
I'm sure.
Though. He needs a haircut and color.
His hair looks
like shit.
It does not look good. He does get it. Sadly, he does get a color in the next episode, but it's all blondish. And you wait till you see the hairdresser who is this big gay guy.
Oh, that's great.
It doesn't look good, though, when he gets it done. Sadly.
No, he should have just colored it dark.
The woman he goes on a date with is very interesting as well.
I bet you he wants to look like Legolas or some type of like Lord of the Rings elf.
They're going to eventually go to a Ren Faire, I believe, or King Richard's palace or whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah. It's so interesting. So many of my students who have autism or something like that, they're also into like LARPing, and it attracts them.
LARPing?
LARPing, live action role play games.
Oh.
You don't know what LARPing is?
No. You do a lot more weirder things on Piano Cat late at night than I do.
Ooh, I've seen LARPing fantasies.
I've seen the costume closet. There's a lot more
than
a pup mask, y'all. That's just the only one he talks about.
Ooh.
That's your Vicarious, everybody. That's your Vicarious for May. So we're going to look at...
I love this show.
It is a good show. There's a shit ton of wonderful, wonderful shows coming out.
June is a fucking amusement park of shows.
Yes.
Stay tuned.
And July, honestly. Yeah. So there's going to be plenty for us to talk about. And Love in the Caribbean's coming back, so we'll be covering that.
Caribbean Love.
Yes. Oh, they changed it. Yes. That's coming back, and I think next week. So
they're only calling it Love in Paradise now.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe.
That's coming back in literally the week we go back on tour. Awesome.
But
at least we won't have Lalu. So that's still on break from that. So that'll be coming back. That'll be at the $5 tier as it comes on Discovery Plus, and then several months later when it comes out on TLC. But y'all are going to get that as well. I have to say, Kim and I talked about it from Kyle, and I have to say, the more I think about it, that's I think my favorite version of 90 Day so far.
Really?
I loved it. Loved it. Hurts too. I love the way it was shot. I love the way it was filmed. I love that it really is taking that idea of people that meet on these vacation bang trips and throwing it on their head. And this year it's just
fucking Ariana and Sherlon.
Oh, it's gonna be so good. It's gonna be so good. So anyway, y'all,
Daniel and Ranch Dressing.
Yes, they're back. So you've got that. You've got all that to look forward to. And yeah, all right, everybody. So we'll see you on your Bi Curious in June, next July. I don't know. We'll see it.
Well, but for right now, bye.
Close off now?
No.